Greetings, Flesh Wound Horror Freaks, and welcome to a brand new episode of Flesh Wound Horror. I am Daniel Shine, joined by Todd, the reason no jury in America would convict them, Loya, and Pugs Dread.
Namaste.
And Mike Kruger.
What's up, you sick motherfuckers?
Yes. Convict her, I mean. I guess they probably would convict them if they were caught. But anyways.
If she made it out alive.
You know what? I don't care. I still give you props for attempting it. Were you thinking of that all day?
It actually occurred to me in the shitter, like, I don't know, half an hour ago, and I was like, yeah, that's what I'm doing. So.
I'm glad that you're drinking, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just on the pot pulling his beard, like, trying to squeeze it out. I'm just assuming that's how Dan takes a dump. And we're about 2 minutes in, and we're showing how classy we are.
It only gets worse. So we're here tonight.
Yeah, you might as well warn them now before we even start. I can't take a joke. It's time to go.
Yes, if you are sensitive, if you think Megan is Missing is an actual real snuff film, then you should go away now. So,
but don't forget to share it.
Yes. Yes. So yeah. So be sure, guys, also to listen to our, we got some commentaries out there. We've got Blood Rage. We've got Home Sweet Home for Thanksgiving. Be sure to listen to those shows. Megan is Missing, as I just mentioned. That's a really interesting discussion and review. So tonight, though, we are here to talk about the I Spit on Your Grave franchise. Very excited to tackle this one. So we have... We decided to do this partially because, well, we love the movies, of course, and there's a new Blu-ray box set out from Ronin with the original film and then the most recent sequel.
Stop, 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 Dan. Put that back up. Show me the spine. The other one. Flip it around.
Well, I had it upside down.
That annoys me right there. The book is in the middle of the goddamn movies.
Oh, I thought you were going with...
No, my OCD just kicked in, sorry.
Yeah, bro, you got to put that shit at the end. Because it like actually blends in with the box.
Oh, my God.
Now you just fucking damaged your box set.
So, I damaged.
One thing that Dan didn't say is that this is, I believe, the first time we have a 4K scan of the original, which I fucking... I thought was really cool and was my main reason for buying the box set. Also, I had never seen the documentary it comes with, which is Growing Up with I Spit on Your Grave. I Spit on Your Grave being one of my top 20 favorite movies of all time. I was very excited to see that too. And then, unfortunately, I Spit on Your Grave Deja Vu is also included in the set, along with art book that's about 40 something pages, I believe,
that Dan had in the wrong spot.
I just watched them. I would have fixed it, Todd.
I don't believe you.
You know, it's funny. You went to the book Deja Vu, and I had one upside down.
If Deja Vu was left like off to the side, I totally forgive Dan.
Dude,
we'll get there.
We'll get there. So this is a franchise that has a very rich history.
It just became a franchise, though, Dan. Like, not that long ago.
A decade ago.
Yeah.
But like, that's still new. When the third one, or the most recent one, the Deja Vu, that was just, what, 2 years ago?
It was like a year ago.
Yeah, I mean, it was shot for a while. It was
2019.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fairly
okay,
new.
It took its time to become a franchise. How about that?
Well, you could say, yeah. I mean, it really became a franchise when we had the remake.
Mm-hmm. It's unique
that
because
qualifies as a franchise.
Well, yeah. I mean, you have a trilogy of films.
No.
That was like the start of it. Yeah. Okay. So.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, it's definitely a franchise now, in my opinion. But and it's also something that is unique in the sense that it originally failed at the drive-ins. It wasn't until that campaign, that poster art, Demi Moore's ass, it kind of sold it. So pretty unique history, but we'll talk about the first film first, because why not?
Well, we're actually doing the box set review first, Dan. That's why it says box set.
Oh, okay. Let's get into the box set.
Yeah, did you not get the itinerary I've had posted for like months?
I've got it. I just have it out of order, apparently.
I just didn't read it.
No, because Dan always tries just go.
God damn it.
It's okay. I'll tag in first and just start by saying there that the 4K scan looked fucking fantastic. This is definitely the best I had ever seen I Spit on Your Grave, which, you know, was awesome. I'm very new to the 4K game, and getting to see it that clear was definitely a highlight of the box set. Special features also on the disc include two different still galleries, a few radio spots, TV spots back in the day, theatrical trailers, a 10-minute piece showing off the filming locations and what they look like now. I was super jealous of that guy who lives at where the gas station is. That's fucking so cool. We also get a 30-minute interview with director Meyer. Is it Mayer? Mayer, right?
Yeah.
Sarkey?
Yeah.
And he basically, you know, talks about, you know, the struggles of it getting I Spit on Your Grave, like Dan was talking before, getting it distributed and how its first run failed. Then talks about the title change from, you know, because it was originally titled Day of the Woman to I Spit on Your Grave and how the marketing changed. And then also it goes briefly into some of the stuff, some of the controversies, but we get more into that once we get into the documentary later on. And he also had very complimentary things to say about the remake, which I thought was awesome as a fan of the remake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I believe he was pretty involved in that trilogy.
So yeah. I didn't know that. So yeah, this was
he was on set like almost every day, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that the I Spit on Your Grave's always been his baby. So makes sense.
No, yeah, absolutely.
Also, one thing I wanted to say too, we also get two separate commentaries, one from Mayer and then one from none other than the fucking horror icon, Joe Bob Briggs, which is how I watched this movie. And his commentary was the absolute fucking shit on the first one. Just so much information. You know, any fans of Joe Bob Briggs, I highly recommend this box set.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks fantastic. I mean, it's one of those ones that, I mean, you're watching a movie that's over 40 years old now, and at times you think you're watching a new movie. It's just, yeah, I was very impressed with the quality on this one.
I actually went back and looked at the old Anchor Bay Blu-ray, and it's, yeah, there's like no detail on that thing. This one,
it's like night and day, huh?
Yeah, it is. And even going from that, I like, shit. If we go back to the VHS days, it's just such an improvement. I mean, gets a little better every time. The DVD was solid. The first Blu-ray was solid, but this one's just beautiful. Grain, structure, colors. It is.
Sound, too. Sounds really good.
And it does include the original mono, so anyone out there who's... I actually think it defaults to original mono on this one versus the 5.1 remakes. So that's a plus.
Yeah, that's rare too. Actually, usually you have
not anymore. That seemed to be a thing in the Anchor Bay era, back, you know, 15, 20 years ago. It seemed to have changed more too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
For indie stuff, not for mainstream, I should say.
Yeah. So well, let's talk about the first film. I feel like most of you know about it, but just in case you don't, this woman has just chopped, crippled, and mutilated four men beyond recognition, but no jury in America would ever convict her. The 1978 film that changed the face of cinema forever, now the notorious I Spit on Your Grave is back and still refusing to be buried. Well, it goes on. Camille Keaton stars as Jennifer Hills, a young and beautiful career woman who rents a backwoods cabin to write her first novel. Attacked by a group of local lowlifes and left for dead, she devises a horrific plan to inflict revenge in some of the most unforgettable scenes on film. All right. Versus
the one I had that was like one sentence and Dan's turning in the he's doing the normal. I know, but you're totally fucking with the format. Like completely.
All right. So memories your
I should
first
have
pugs
those to get.
First time memory seeing this film, because this was one of those ones I know for me, like being aware of the cover art and everything, that this was like the one you weren't supposed to watch back in the day. And, you know, it was definitely like that. I'm going to need to watch this when no one's around kind of deal. Do you guys have memories first time watching it? Was it in your youth? I assume with you it was, Todd, but what was it like your first time watch?
What year did the Anchor Bay one come
DVD
out?
The Blu-ray or the Image DVD?
I don't know. Give me both.
The Anchor Bay DVD did not come out till the Blu-ray came out. So there's a couple different Image DVDs. There's the Millennium Edition, which was the two disc one, and then the first
that one that had the clear case.
I think it was gray, actually.
Yes. What year did that come out? Because that's when I first saw it. Because I remember hearing about this movie. I was never able to see it, and I always heard like there's big controversy about it, and it's supposed to be like an important video nasty. So of course,
2002.
Okay, so I did see it in high school. Awesome. So that's when I first saw it. I think I saw it by myself first, and then I invited a bunch of friends. Like, you guys got to check this shit out. It lives up to the hype.
My late aunt introduced me to it. I was probably too young. She also introduced me to The Last House on the Left in Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So, and Silent Night, Deadly Night. So,
did she see these first, or did she just?
She'd seen like Silent Night, Deadly Night before. I don't think she saw that. I don't know. I really don't. I know she'd seen Chainsaw, but I don't know about the rape double feature.
I like her.
Yeah. I don't think the first time I saw it, I was pretty young. So I don't think I comprehended the rape. It was just like they attacked her and then she went and killed him off.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's amazing. Even just the cover art, you would think she might be like, you might want to wait on this one. You were lucky.
She knew what was up.
Yeah, yeah. How about you, Kruger?
So, I actually am one of those guys that saw the remake before I saw the original. Saw the remake, I think maybe about 2 years after it came out. And for the longest time, I really liked that movie. But I was just more self-absorbed with, I think, wrestling at the time, that like I wasn't like super horror fan. So I didn't know really the background of the movie or the fact that it had sequels. Later on, I'd say fast forward about maybe a couple more years later, I'm getting into really watching a bunch of disturbing films, and I remember, you know, I Spit on Your Grave. So I rewatch it, and now I find out this is a remake. So I'm like, okay, so let me go fucking watch the original. And the original was actually on Netflix at the time. And I fucking turned that shit on, and it blew my fucking mind. Just because I found the first one just way more powerful than the remake, even though I love the remake so much, and because, you know, it's over the top gore fest, and I fucking, you know, those are my type of movies. But watching the original, I'm just like, wow, this is way more fucked up, way more disturbing in my opinion, and this is a fucking masterpiece. And then I just dived into, you know, finding everything about this movie, and as the years grew on, the first movie is definitely one of my top 20 favorite films of all fucking time. I can watch it fucking a million times and never get tired of it. And really just watching this fucking 4K scan of it and hearing Joe Bob in the back just made me fucking realize how much I truly adore this movie. because it's fucking so good, like so sleazy and fucking, you know, has good kills, and just the kills are stylistic, and there's not like a lot of gore in this movie, but the stuff that's there is so powerful. And I'll get into more of, you know, how, you know, just crazy some of the effectiveness and some of the kills in this movie are, with the minimum amount of gore, yet it still hurts. You still feel it. And that's just fucking masterful filmmaking, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Did any of you have an issue with the tub scene and him not feeling it at first?
Should we hold that to our favorite kill parts?
Well, we need to hold off for that.
I know Dan has completely forgot the format we do, because it's Dan.
Dan, we're talking about the first movie and the like, primarily the box set, the fucking disc, like how this version of the film was.
He's turning into a review show like normal.
I know. But fucking, I love this fucking film. And I was so happy when I found out that, we're going to get this box set, because I just started my physical media collection and I hadn't got this movie yet. So fucking, this was, you know, the perfect time to pull the trigger. And we did get a beautiful set, beautiful box set. The color, you know, Dan, can you pull it up for us real quick?
Yeah,
the box set. The fucking art on this thing, it's just fucking beautiful, and it has like nice matte finish, and also comes with a poster that does have the "I Spit on Your Grave" Deja Vu poster on one side, but you can just flip that over and get that cover art on the other side, which was very smart of them doing that. And also, the back and that scene in that movie is fucking awesome. Just the long shot of the lake. And that's honestly like probably the most iconic shot in that movie, in my opinion, is the one where she's holding up the axe on the boat. So great fucking choice of a cover art.
Absolutely. And I do want to say this one is fully uncut, unlike the recent UK one that came out right before. So
I'm so happy I didn't buy that.
I
would have been so pissed, bro. If like I got that set and fucking it was all fucking cut shit, I would have been mad as hell. I know some people that on Facebook groups were really pissed off about that. So yeah, make sure you get this set, not the other one, because in my opinion, I Spit on Your Grave, there's no point in watching it cut.
And that's one, and like, I mean, it's still one of the last Video Nasties that is still hasn't passed uncut yet. So it's one of the
really
few. Yeah,
that's so bizarre.
Which is why,
oh my god,
wow. Which is why it's, you know, which I think you can screen it uncut, but you can't, because if you, their whole thing is weird. Like, you can go see the movie and see it a certain version, but you can't watch that shit at home because you might go nuts. So
that's crazy as fuck. They also go in. This actually may be a good segue if you want to get into the documentary, because they do cover that in the doc.
Okay, yeah, let's do that. We'll save everyone's favorite for last. So,
all right, so the documentary "Growing Up, I Spit on Your Grave." In this one, for the first time, explore the myths behind the controversial 1978 film "I Spit on Your Grave" with this new doc, "Growing Up, I Spit on Your Grave: 5 years in the Making." All right. So, this one I was actually really excited about. I was under the impression, I don't know, when they were making this, that this was more, like their kid's story, like just, you know, that's what this was going to be. But this is actually very in depth. A lot of stuff that even I didn't know about, I Spit on Your Grave, from, details on the real incident that inspired it, which is, pretty horrific. How about you guys? What did you think of the doc, Kruger?
It was good. Fucking, it gave me a lot of info. Like, I always wondered, you know, a little bit more about, because I knew that, you know, the first "I Spit on Your Grave" was inspired by a situation the director had went through with finding, you know, a girl who was raped, and then taking, and this more or less explains, you know, when he took her to the police, they were more or less just like victim blaming her, and fucking it inspired him to inspired him to go home and fucking write the story because it bothered him so much. And I think it's just funny that, like, you know, fucking everybody talks about this movie obviously gets a lot of shit, and it got more shit back in the day than it does now. But it's just like anybody that would just do a little bit of research and find out, like, the reason this guy wrote this story was literally because he saw the police injustice and was fucking mad. So he wanted to see this girl more or less get revenge on her fucking victim, or on the people who fucking made her a victim. And I think that's fucking powerful as shit and gives way more depth than people ever give to the fucking first I spit on your grave. Like, it has way more depth than you motherfuckers realize. And if anything, that this documentary does a great job of explaining that. And,
especially since he found her with his daughter. Like, that has to impact so heavily. Like, hey, that could happen to my kid.
Well, I think he even said that. I think he even said, like, I believe in the doc that he mentioned something about, you know, picturing what the situation happened to his daughter, and it fucking bothered him a lot. And I just think that's awesome that it inspired him to make, you know, one of the greatest movies of all time, in my opinion. And the one part I did like about the doc, though, was the Siskel and Ebert part, right? They're, you know, talking all their shit. Then I think it was the effects guy, the production manager, met one of them, and the first fucking question those two sleazebag pieces of shit ask is, did she really get fucked on the rock? You fucking scumbag motherfucker, trying to play it off like this is filth, and where did your mind go first, you little piece of shit?
That had to have been Ebert.
I hate that guy.
I fucking hate him too, and it's fucking, I wish he could have met him years later and said, is that really your face? But
I still put him over. He did all that Russ Meyer shit I love, so I can't hate him completely.
Yeah, and you know what?
Give him all the shit you want for shitting on the slasher genre. He did nothing but help make it as big as it was.
Unintentionally.
No, I agree. See, I agree with that. To an extent, but it just it bothers me because, you know,
I get it, I do,
he's a jerk.
He definitely is.
Well, and I feel a lot of my family's from that generation, right? So like a lot of them kind of look down upon me because, you know, I like this type of fucked up shit, and like that's where my animosity comes from. Even though, like, the dumbass fucking literally did exactly the opposite of what he wanted, because he wanted to kill it, and he just made it stronger because everybody had to go and see. Because it's like watching a car crash, dude. You want to fucking see what the hell the aftermath is. So let's go watch it.
Yep.
No, absolutely. And this does this doc does get into the feminist or exploitation debate quite a bit, yes. And you do hear from other people too. That, you know, are not quite.
I'm going to give you my two cents on that real quick. It's both. Mm-hmm. You can't say it's not exploitation. You can't say it's not feminist. It is 100% both, because they could have told the story a little less explicitly in the rape scene. I'm not saying they should have done that, because I'm happy the way it is.
Should have went harder.
But yeah, it was a drive-in movie. It was supposed to be both. In my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I agree with you, too. Like, you know, the point of, I don't know. Like, to me, the point of the exploitation part of this is to show you, you know, how fucked up it is. Yeah. And, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, because, and somebody said it in the doc, really good. Like, you know, it's okay to, you know, enjoy the rape scene if you equally enjoy watching her get her fucking revenge. And that's always been my thing, is, you know, yeah, rape scenes, you know, are not going to be for everybody, but I like them when they're in rape revenge movies, because it gives me the fucking, I want to see that motherfucker get his head cut off, his dick shoved down his fucking severed throat, and end it at that. And I don't know, like, it's definitely, and I think Joe Bob has the best argument about, you know, it being feminist. I think it totally gets to that area when she uses her sexual power over I forgot what the retarded guy's name is in the movie. Dan. But when she uses, when she uses her sexual power over Dan back in the day with glasses and uses it to kill him and literally kills him right as he's climaxing, he thinks that's the most feminist part in the whole film. And I tend to agree because she's showing that she has sexual power over man. And, One thing I throw it to somebody else is my favorite part about the doc was the effects guy talking all the stuff with, you know, just the way he did the effects and how it was so basic, and it made everything it worked so fucking well and probably way better than it has any right to have worked that way, but.
With the simplicity,
very
of that
minimal
boat
gore.
Two
absolutely.
Like, fuck yeah.
And then the infamous bathtub scene too. Like just the way he, you know, was explaining how the blood shot out, and that's always what got me, was when the blood just shoots out, you know. And anybody that's a fan of effects and gore, just finding out the way you fucking do kills, this documentary is fucking gold in that section.
Yeah, I'm glad Dan didn't let me do the synopsis for the original film, because I would have been like, four guys had to have a good time, and then some woman shows up. No, joke. Remember that PSA at the front? I actually watched this doc when it first came out, and rewatching it, there was, you know, a few things I didn't notice for some reason, but I mean, Kruger nailed it. I mean, it's such a good doc. I was kind of leery going in the first time because I wasn't sure. It was kind of like sometimes when it's a family produced doc, you kind of get it soft shoed and a little bit, you know, I don't know the word I'm looking for, but you know, this felt very, you know, authentic and true to its subject.
What a movie to lead on.
Yeah. The director, his kid, directed it. What's his name?
Terry.
Well, yeah. I think the reason why it also comes across like super powerful and good is because of his dad. He's like, yeah, don't hold back. Like, I don't care if we are related. If we have something to do, you have something to say, fucking say it. So I also love the fact that he keeps referring to the sequel as the so-called sequel. Not for Deja Vu, for I Spend Your Grave 2. That kept cracking me up.
The second remake.
That's got to be awkward as kids, like, watching this movie. Like, there's your mom.
Speak for yourself.
On screen.
I think if you grow up in the... I don't know. I think if you grow up into the filmmaking business, it's not as awkward as you may think.
Yeah.
How much did he get to act in it again? Was it $10? I can't remember.
I liked when she got mad with him.
Yeah, $10.
Went, you do it, and he started having to like bend over the rock.
Oh yeah, when he was about to get all the way undressed. You can leave your underpants on.
You could totally tell how passionate fucking Mayer was for this movie, and I think it came from a good place. I mean, granted, Deja Vu didn't, but fucking, that's another story.
And
for the rest of them.
And he hates the title. That's something, I mean, you know, forever people have known, like, Day of the Woman. I'm sorry. It would have been Here and Gone, which is why it didn't hit at the drive-in.
Or something, too. I mean, it doesn't scream horror. I Spit on Your Grave. I mean,
well, like, as he says, it's not a horror film.
But the horror audience, like, accepted it, so he needs to come around on that too.
I accept it as a horror film.
I mean, there's a whole argument on the definition of what the horror actually means, like if it makes you uncomfortable, blah blah blah. So
he did concede to horrifying, so you know,
yeah,
take off a few letters, buddy.
You know, it's funny because some of the older generations, they don't like the word horror, because like Vincent Price, it was a thriller. Horror was like blood and guts and all that, you know, good stuff, but there was a difference in their minds. Like Hitchcock's never made a horror film in his mind.
Well, and even in the literary world, I mean, you go to most bookstores, they won't actually have a horror section. It'll be like crime thriller or whatever. I mean, it's always been kind of a dirty word. And I don't know. I don't get it. I think it's a great film. Classify it how you want. I definitely think it's a horror film, personally.
Another PSA.
Yeah. yeah, man. I mean, this doc is really, really good. And you get a lot of also Mir's upbringing in Israel, his film, you know, what inspired him. And, you know, I'm sure this probably wasn't the first thing in his head that he thought he was going to make when he was coming up, but he did. And again, this movie 40 plus years later, and we're still talking about it. So I think that's pretty amazing.
The one thing I enjoyed too was them explaining why there was no soundtrack and stuff. And just like, fuck, man. I think that's a whole aspect of the movie not enough people talk about. Just how eerie, you know, there's no soundtrack, but there is music. And all of those scenes with music is fucking creepy as shit, considering the rest of the movie is silent as fuck. And, just a harmonica playing scene and stuff like that. And that was another good part. So highly recommend this doc for any fucking fans of the first movie or even the remakes too, because they do get covered. So, not really, more or less the first remake.
They touch upon them, but yeah, they don't really go in depth. Yeah. But I did want to mention Chaos, you know, another favorite of mine. Yeah. They also kind of borrow that from it. There's no music in Chaos. There's like some music from Cars, like when they're going to the party, but it's also very similar in the fact that
I love that movie.
Oh yeah.
It's another one. We'll
I'm already like planning it. I was like, okay, when am I going to have some drinks again?
Christmas Eve. We can contact Kevin Gage, like to say, God bless us, everyone. Please.
All right.
So now
the Avengers Endgame of rape revenge films. It's because it's like really fucking long.
Yes. Oh Jesus! I think it's longer than I didn't see Avengers.
It's not,
Endgame.
But it's a joke, Dan.
Don't no, I think it's literally longer. This movie's
awesome. It's not,
but it felt longer.
Okay, well.
Yes. I didn't even like Endgame.
Just let me know when you want me to pull the trigger on my rant.
Oh, well, you know, I should probably go last then.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, I spit on your grave. Deja Vu, the sequel to the original, the direct sequel to the original, which this one picks up with Jennifer Hill's daughter, who runs afoul along with their mom of some relatives to the original rapists in I Spit on Your Grave. And obviously we were all very excited for this one. This movie is 2.5 hours long.
2:28. Come on, get it right.
2 hours, 28 minutes. I don't, there's not, it's not Lord of the Rings.
Do you want the end game runtime, Dan, just so you know that, you know, Endgame is 3 hours and 1 minute. A little bit difference.
Okay. Well, I bet you there's a cut.
I bet you there's a cut, a work print cut of this that's at least 3.5, though. So
stop it.
Maybe stop it.
That's what this felt like, a work print, because there you could easily cut.
I can co-sign that
half an hour minimum.
Oh, you can cut an hour out of this and get a nice 90 minutes. And like I've said from the get, there is an entertaining movie in here. It's just so heavily padded out, and it just makes it a hard watch. Like, I really like Jamie Bernadette as the daughter. Yeah. I like your girl, Dan.
Maria Olson is yes.
Yeah, I really like her,
I guess. Yeah.
It's just so long, and the ideas, and there's some good stuff in there. I wanted to like this one so bad, but I will say this, watching it this second time, I did like it a little more. I still wish it was about an hour shorter, but I don't know. I'm shocked. It kind of grew on me. I don't love it in the least, but I don't hate it like I did the first time. I didn't even hate it the first time.
Were you inebriated?
No. I might have been the first time, though. So,
well, they were good. And I really don't have too many polite things to say about this movie. So,
but that's why I ended up going first, so I could be the nice one.
Yeah, I wanted to like this so bad, and it's just there are certain things in there that are cool, but it's outweighed by the length of the movie and how much bullshit you have to go through just to get to some cool shit. Yeah, I didn't like it. I do want to watch it with the Joe Bob Briggs commentary, so maybe one day I'll put that gun in my mouth and pull the trigger. But it's until then, I'm good.
When you got 2.5 hours free.
Yeah.
So. I will say one good thing about it. I did think Maria Olson was really good. And there are a few intense scenes that are good. But you can't, I mean, if you're talking maybe being generous, 10 minutes of the movie, of a, you know, 2-hour, 28-minute movie, you have to judge the whole. You have to judge the whole.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
One big hole.
I do like the Dan in this one, though, too.
I didn't have any issues with the actors, really.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought for the most part the acting was fine. This is a good example of sometimes creative freedom doesn't work out like it should. I think a studio would be like, cut this thing to 90 minutes. It's ridiculous.
I know everyone was hoping that on this pass we'd get a shorter cut.
I thought it was a situation where they put that out early and they were going to.
They just self distributed it.
So. Just treat it like a penis in the bathtub and cut that bitch.
So
Kruger go. Okay,
you loved it. I can tell you loved it.
I'm excited because he wasn't here when we first watched it. I'm tagging you.
There we go.
So, before I say this, anything I'm about to say, I apologize to the actors. It may have not been your fault, but okay. So, first off, I thought the acting was bad. Maybe it's just a fucking dialogue, but goddamn, bro. Everything was unnatural as fuck. Felt clunky, and just, quite frankly, every fucking scene feels dragged out and fucking long as fuck, like too much dialogue in places. And I'm like, for a movie that didn't really have that much dialogue in the first one, like, what the fuck? Like literally every scene feels too long. And by like the opening scene with the fucking lunch, it's like I'm sitting here for 10 minutes. I feel like I've been here for a half hour. And I'm like, you know, the dialogue between fucking the daughter and the mom just it feels so fucking unnatural, and it just every character in this movie was annoying to me. There's a couple of parts that are laughably bad, but to be honest, man, this movie is just straight goddamn dog shit. Like, oh you think I've never seen a woman naked before? I fucked a retard once. That's some of the dialogue in this fucking movie, man. Like, what the fuck is that, man? How can the same how can the same guy who made such a fucking masterpiece of a fucking movie in the original I Spit on Your Grave fucking write something like that? And then the bitch who wants Jennifer, as the daughter's walking past, or no, Jennifer Hill is walking down a road, and somehow Mayor fucking writes in, some hillbilly comes down riding past her like a fucking clown on a bike and says, I'll get you, my pretty. Like, what the fuck is that? For a movie that's supposed to be about rape and revenge, you're going to fucking put in some clown shoes bullshit like that? Like, come on, man. And then the way they kill off Jennifer in 40 minutes, you kill her off in 40 minutes in this fucking piece of shit. Like, you fucking have her go through all the shit you put her through in the first fucking film, and you're going to kill off an iconic ass character just like that in front of the fucking church. Like, and it's lame. It's
I, you know, man, what? That, it just, I was actually relieved on that part just because There was a reason they didn't let her talk a lot in the original. I'm just gonna say that.
Oh, I well, no, that's, yeah.
They could have went the Scream route too, where it's like first 15, get her out of there.
You know, honestly, it that would have been for the length of this movie, the first 15.
Yeah, I
and
yeah.
And last but not least, the fucking kills are shit. Like, if anything could have redeemed this goddamn movie, the kills are straight up dog fucking dookie, dude. They are fucking garbage. And like, honestly, this is the worst sequel of all fucking time. It's getting that fucking goddamn stamp right in the face. And honestly, we should just stop talking about it because it doesn't deserve any more of our time. And my blood pressure is fucking rising. I'm about to have a heart attack over here.
All right. Well, then we're just going to jump into, all right, that's the box set. What would you see? We're not going to review the films, Dan. That's why I'm jumping in. What would you give the box set on a scale of 1 to 5?
Well, go for it.
I'll go first.
Please.
Oh, go ahead. Oh, all right. I'll go first and fucking just say that the amount of enjoyment I got out of fucking the first I Spit on Your Grave and the documentary, this box set gets a fucking 5 for me. Fucking... Even though the sequel is fucking terrible, I'm not going to fault it for that. I had extreme amount of enjoyment. This has great extras, good commentary tracks. Fucking the 4K scan looks beautiful as hell. And and the box set just in general is just really nice and fucking visually appealing. So, 5 out of 5 for me. I love this set.
Yeah, and, you know, there's a Joe Bob commentary for the second one also.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, again, that's why I said box set review. I'm a 5 out of 5 also. This love or hate the second one, you get the commentary. There's great content, beautiful package. I wish Ronan got some more, you know, stuff like this to do instead of, you know, other companies. But Dan, do you want to go?
I'm a 5 all the way. Again, as you guys were saying, I don't think any of us particularly loved Deja Vu, but the box set is amazing. Everything looks great. And that's the most important thing. This is as good as this film needs to ever look. It's definitive. What say you, Pugs?
5, 1 big hole.
That's right.
There we go.
See, now we got to figure out a way to like all connect it so we have a big circle in the middle. Yeah, that's too hard. See?
Oh God!
Dan's not even gonna try. Dan's gonna be up in the fucking corner and shit over here. All right. Well, there we go. Box set review. What were you gonna say, Dan?
Oh no, go for it.
That's out of the way.
All right. Here we go. So we'll bring up the sequels in here, since you know. All right. Who wants to go first? Best to worst.
I'll go. All right. So, for me, it's tough because I actually really do like the remake, but I am going with the original as the best. It's a masterpiece. It's, you know, drive-in classic that is still talked about to this day. My second is the remake, which I think is fantastic. I think Sarah Butler is great. In some ways, the remake is actually more intense, which might be a controversial opinion, but there are certain aspects to it where it did feel more intense. It's not a perfect film, but man, tense film.
Should have been called I Sawed Your Grave.
my third pick is I Spit on Your Grave 3. Which was the return of Sarah Butler. Watching this one again, not a perfect film. I felt it maybe could have ended stronger, but I really, really like her. She was a great pick. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that this one after. But my fourth pick is I Spit on Your Grave 2, which we're now at the point where I did not like that one. I think it didn't, sending it to Eastern Europe for me just didn't work. Maybe it was something they thought they could make work on paper. It has its moments. It's still not a very good movie. And my last pick is Deja Vu. This is a film that is way too long and has a few good moments, but that doesn't make a film. So there is my
order. You know what? I'm just going to jump in right now. I am exactly the same.
Oh, okay.
My only difference is I'm a little closer on two and Deja Vu. Like, they're both, you know, the only thing that puts two that much ahead is it's not 2.5 hours.
Can I ask you about two? And you can all answer this. Do you think that one would have fared better if it didn't have the I Spit on Your Grave tag, if it was just some other rape revenge movie? Because it does have its moments. It's not great, but, you know. Yeah. Some good
gore. You want to go?
For me, yeah, I'll go ahead and go. Fucking, so obviously, first I Spit on Your Grave because it's in my top 20 of all time. So it's fucking number one. Number two is the remake. I think the remake is kind of like, I heard somebody explain this. I can't remember who though, that like the original is really heavy in the rape part and maybe not so heavy in the revenge part. And I feel like the remake is completely flipped. It's not very heavy in the rape part, but very heavy in the revenge part. Yeah, it's great fucking film and one of the best remakes ever, to be quite honest with you, because it kind of, I think it expands upon what the original set out and kind of just like adds these crazy fucking kills to it. And dude, like fucking just some of the scenes in that movie are just brutal as fuck. Then I Spit on Your Grave too. I actually really liked that movie. I didn't like it when I first saw it, but looking back on it now, and now that sex trafficking is a little bit more widely in the public, and that's kind of, you know, a part of a thing that's a world problem now, this kind of holds up very well, and it's actually better than I remember it. So I really liked that one a lot. But I do agree with you. Probably shouldn't have had the I Spit on Your Grave tagline. And then it's I Spit on Your Grave 3. It's really good, and it's pretty much what Deja Vu should have been, in my opinion. And it does have this crazy penis. I'll get into that in fucking kill. Sorry, I almost gave myself away there. And then it's the fucking abomination known as I Spit on Your Grave, Deja Vu. That movie sucks cocks in hell and fucking deserves to be burned.
Awesome. Actually, Kruger, we have the same list. Except I do actually, I don't like three. I don't think, okay. I know it's those guys, although they are pieces of shit, I don't think they deserve to be put down that way. The last guy did, but everyone else, I'm like, you guys are shitheads, but it didn't happen to her. So like, she went,
it doesn't make you.
Yeah, I wasn't rooting for him. Like, they weren't fucking with you. They're pieces of shit, but you're not Charles Bronson, and you don't come off that way, and I can't back you up. And also, with two, and yeah. The second one, the sex trafficking is fucking awesome. I wish that one would have been better, and that one would have got sequeled. So, yeah, it shouldn't have been a nice spinning grave movie, but I think it's better than three. I do like three more this time than I did the first time I saw it, so.
Now, just to clarify, you're talking about the dudes outside that were catcalling, or not the diddler.
I'm talking about the diddler too. He didn't diddle her. That was the dad should have took care of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm gonna say he got what he deserved.
I'm not saying he didn't. I'm just saying she didn't have to go search for it.
Yeah.
No, I get what you're saying, Pugs. Getting what you deserve is one thing, but with I Spit on Your Grave, right, it's all about getting the revenge on who fucked you over and who fucking almost said that getting the revenge on who fucked you. Fucking well, but getting revenge on who getting revenge on who fucked you over. And that movie is more, I feel like it makes Jennifer Hill weaker, to be honest with you, because it shows her go into a complete fucking craze where she's, you know, turning into a vigilante. And
she starts fantasizing too. I'm like, this is, it wasn't working for me.
It takes away from her character. I think it doesn't make you feel for her and root for her as much as you do, you know, with the original.
It did make her lose her marbles a bit, as particularly with that guy that was interested in her and really wasn't, you know, doing anything. He was just interested in her. So no, I get
she was right to stay away from that guy.
But I get I can get the criticisms people would have of three. I still like it more than two, but you know.
One part I will say about two though that I'll agree with you, Dan, that's kind of hokey. And when I was rewatching, I was like, oh, I forgot about that. That's kind of fucking lame. Is the way she gets out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like the way that she escapes is so like, you know, just an act of God. I mean, if you really look into it deeper, it could have been an act of God because, you know, the church was right there. But fucking yeah, that part, I looking back on it, I kind of wish she would have escaped a little bit more cleverly and not just be like, oh, well, she just fell through this thing into the sewer. And that's how she got out.
She finally caught a break.
They could have made it work. I know not being in the woods and everything was an issue for people.
But I just think the sex trafficking thing, if they should have maybe, like, I think they should have went harder on that and had, like, just these fucked up girls, like, maybe in there with her. Mm-hmm. Like, I think a way you could have made this cooler would be that she was just, like, one of many. And then they all uprised up against them. And that's how they got their revenge. That could have been a cooler way to fucking do it, maybe.
Day of the women.
I'm only half kidding with this because I actually think it could work. Wouldn't it be great to have her like on Epstein's island and it's like surviving the game style where she like kills
God. Now you kill all these.
There you go, Todd. Oh, here's Dan's stupid idea. Now he likes it. She's setting traps for the perverts around there. You got like the Rambo shit on her face.
Well, considering Rambo already did it in the last one, well, I'm just gonna say, first off, the second
Rambo didn't get cornholed
in the second one. Just some guys trying to make a buck. All this fucking shit happens. I'm just saying. Back in my day, it wasn't sex trafficking. It was pimping. So I don't know what the fuck we're doing.
You know what? They should have charged extra, though, when he started peeing on her. I'm like, that shit ain't free.
Dude, that part, I was just like, oh, you motherfucker. Like, that guy was such a piece of fucking shit. I was so fucking ready for him to get fucked up.
It did have it. Like I said, I don't know. I don't hate it. I don't hate it, but I just don't love it.
Yeah, I know. It feels out of place, especially watching all of them. It feels out of place. Even if the last one, you know, no one likes, it still is doing what the first one did. It may not be doing it as anywhere as good, but it still feels like it belongs in that world. Mm-hmm. So,
oh, I understand. I understand what you mean because it's, you know, it's much more rape in the woods type of deal. I get what you mean.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's just.
I wouldn't mind seeing somebody that script though, like something similar and expanding upon it. But yeah, favorite kill. So who wants to go first?
You want to go first or last? I'll give it to you.
I'll fucking probably go last because I got honorable mentions too.
Okay. All right. Well. Dan, start it off.
Cool. So man. There are so many in this franchise, and I had a hard time picking. I have to go with three. There's a lot of genital trauma in I Spit on Your Grave, obviously. But not only the bite, but the split. That one made me wince, and that's hard to do now. That kill, holy fuck. And then, bit it, sliced it. She fucking annihilated that cock. I mean, that was, ugh. And three also has the pipe scene, which is pretty damn good. So three brought it, but I'm going with the dick split / bite from three.
I have to go with a butterfly penis.
I was just gonna say it fucking reminded me of like gutter balls when fucking the penis bisection.
Oh yeah, it's rare to make me wince. I'm a gore hound, but whew, that one I was like, oh fuck, she's not just cutting it, she's fucking
wishbone. That was my favorite part of that.
right. Well, it could be argued whether if it's the best kill or not, but my favorite kill is the most iconic, and that's the bathtub scene from the original. Yes. I mean, again, not the most gruesome. I mean, it's just so iconic. It is my favorite.
Cool. I was going back and forth between that one and then the fish hooks in the eyelid, because like up until then I hadn't seen shit like that. I'm like, so I'm gonna go with fish hooks in the eyelid because fuck that fat dude, that guy sucked. get him, crows.
that one's another one that's like very painful, because again, eyeballs, sometimes, you know, you do that right, you know, your Fulci moment, it's gonna work on you. How about you, Kruger?
Okay, so my number one kill is it's a tie, because I was arguing back and forth with myself, like, you know, which one is better, but they're both on the same level of fucked upness and sickness. The bathtub castration is fucking phenomenal. I think once she does it and he kind of doesn't notice at first, and then you see the squirt of blood, and you're like, oh my God. Like, it almost felt like he ejaculated blood at that moment. So it just made me like, oh my God. And then just the blood curdling scream. Oh God. It's powerful as fuck. Like, fucking. And then the visual of him at the staircase, fucking beautiful filmmaking. And just when they talked about it in the doc about how they set it up and just the blood squirt, like, it made me even love that kill even more. Definitely one of my favorite kills of all time. But it's tied with the shotgun rape in the ass and then pull the fucking trigger, motherfucker, out the foot. And then just the way his eyes are all, you know, completely bloodshot and just looks fucking fucked up. And just when she's fucking him with the shotgun, it's fucking brutal as shit. Like, that scene, and satisfying. Like, you know, I couldn't have think of what I wanted more to happen to him other than him get fucked in the ass and pulled the trigger with the shotgun. I thought you were an ass man.
Yes.
Yeah, dude, that's one of the most fucked up lines. I was watching it with my girl, and we had seen it before, but we forgot about that line. We were just like, oh, what a fucking piece of shit. Like, fuck, what you're doing is already bad enough, motherfucker. And then you gotta go tear up her asshole. God damn. Fucking but my honorable mentions go to the ball crushing scene in I Spit on Your Grave 2. The fucking that shit was making my balls hurt so fucking bad. My balls still hurt fucking watching that shit. I did have the fish hook to the eyelids on there too, because I have felt a fish hook to the ear, and that shit fucking sucks balls. One more honorable mention, though, I did have was the electrified bed and the rod down the throat, and then the dude's fucking back of his brain explodes on I Spit on Your Grave 2. That kill was fucking badass. Yeah. So I had to put that on there. And that's all I got.
Yeah,
I wonder how much they charged for to prod these girls with that, because that seems fun.
Is that a question?
Time to start a new business, Pugs.
Some light voltage might be fun.
You know, there's some girls that are out there that are down. So
I'm well aware.
There is.
All right. Well, here we go. I'm kind of curious on this one.
Favorite Jennifer Hills. Does anybody want to go first? I can take it.
I'll go first on this one. Mm-hmm. My favorite Jennifer is the original, just because I feel because the rape scene isn't as graphic in the remake, I don't feel for her as much. If that makes sense. Like, I do, but I don't. Like, how brutal the rape scene is on the I Spit on Your Grave, and some of the screams she fucking bellows out of her, like, she digs fucking deep like that. I can't imagine having to scream like that, like, fucking. And it's way more eerie. It makes me feel for her more, and just by the end of the movie, she's a little bit more of the more powerful figure, just because she does use her sexual prowess to get over on one of them. That is something the other Jennifer Hills doesn't. And I think that does make the first one more of a feminist film, which makes her more powerful.
Okay. Yeah, it's interesting because the first one, rape scene might not be as graphic, but I do think it's probably equally degrading. So it's still very strong to me. I also think the attackers in the remake, this could be a criticism or a compliment to the filmmakers, depending how you take it, but you knew they were sinister right away in the remake, while the original, at first, they kind of came off as just normal country dudes who, you know, probably don't do that sort of thing every day, but, you know, they got there. Yeah, pigs maybe, I don't know. But anyways, so favorite Jen Hills. I'm going to say it. I actually think Sarah Butler is a far superior actress than Camille Keaton. And I loved Camille Keaton, not just for I Spit on Your Grave, but What Have You Done to Solange? You know, awesome. Done some great work. Yeah, fantastic.
Kruger, if you haven't seen that, we'll do that in the Giallo show. For
yes,
sure.
One of the best. But
definitely want to see that, though.
You certainly see how exposed Camille Keaton is in Deja Vu. She's not a very good actress. Yeah. When, as Todd said earlier, like, you give her dialogue, you start to see how exposed she is. Now, she's a great performance, great physical performance, but Sarah Butler, to me, is the better actress.
But it's your favorite, not who's better.
She's my favorite, too. Yeah. Okay. Better and favorite.
Pugs.
All right. Well, Sarah Butler is like the Rambo of rape revenge victims, but she lost me at 3. So Camille Keaton's my favorite, Jennifer Hills.
Okay.
See, I've been going back and forth in this one because my argument is Camille lost me on Deja Vu. So it's really just the strength of the first films. But
that's a good point now that you bring that up.
But I, you know what? I'm just gonna do it.
I'm gonna pretend like fucking Deja Vu doesn't exist. I'm a denier.
Dan, you can relate to that. I'm actually with Dan on this one.
They each had two goes too. So
yeah, and
so no love for Jamie, huh?
Oh no! Well,
she's not Jennifer Hills though either. So
you're right.
Yeah, no, because
you're right.
Yeah, I did like her in that one. She's one of the highlights in my opinion. And Dan's girl.
Yeah, no, I thought she was. She was different from everybody else too, which I enjoyed. But I mean, again, it's hard with that type of movie, and that's why again. I don't think you can use the excuse for Camille Keaton in Deja Vu that it was, you know, just not very well made. She didn't sell the mother-daughter.
The first scene, you can tell. It's
so bad.
She's older. It's fine.
No, it's not the fault her. Like, dude, like, trust me. If you sit and don't fucking practice something after a really long time, you lose it. It's just a reality of life. And unfortunately, some people don't. You will never understand that until you go through that, and I've gone through it, so I understand it a little bit. So I feel for her, but yeah, it wasn't. But I'm not going to sugarcoat it either. She wasn't good in that movie at all.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, this is another one I was really interested in. Okay, I kind of maybe I'm not. Who wants to go first?
I'll go.
I'll go first because
I'll go. But I'm going to keep mine simple. As much as I like the Zack Snyder version, which is the remake, because it's like less color and more, you know, it ups the violence and stuff, I still got to go with the original. It's just, if we didn't have that one, we wouldn't have got the remake. And yeah, I'm going to quote Scream 4 here. You can't fuck with the original. Kruger.
Because of the original, I think we've gotten, you know, just so much inspiration, the rape revenge genre in general, you know, just thinking about it, you know, one comes to mind, Revenge, you know, that movie is heavily inspired by I Spit on Your Grave. And fucking also the just all the ins and outs of I Spit on Your Grave, all the controversy, all the shit it went through, title change, all the history. I think the original by far, even though the remake is fucking good, and so like there's aspects of the remake I will even say are better than the original I Spit on Your Grave, but as far as enjoyment wise and just my heart, I love the original more.
Yeah, I'm with you, but it goes without saying that it's one of the better remakes, even though it is James Wan's I Spit on Your Grave, but whatever. It's obviously heavily influenced by Saw, but it was that era.
Why are we hating on Saw?
No, it's just obvious. It's a little, but I still love that one. It doesn't pack the punch of the original. And I don't know if it's just, you know, at the age I saw the original versus the remake. But I do remember popping pretty hard when we get the exact same title treatment. When I Spit on Your Grave pops up in the remake, it was like, okay, we're going to do this. And I was really happy with it. But yeah, I'm original. So,
you know, I again, remake does have some pretty strong stuff that the original doesn't. Like I said, I think the villains are much more scummy, but again, the original too, I think that was part of the thing, that, you know, I guess in a way, like they were trying to say, like, you know, any guys under the right circumstance can be that. I don't agree with that, but I mean, certainly, I don't know. It was a different approach. I still like the original the best. I think it is the classic. As Todd said, though, that remake is really, really fucking good. And it's among the best. And right up there, you know, Hills Have Eyes remake. And all right, guys. So we'll move on to our next topic, which is I Spit on Your Grave's impact on the genre. I think it's quite strong. I mean, this wasn't the first, you know, rape revenge story that was ever told.
It goes back to the Virgin Springs. I mean, that's like one of the earliest, Jim.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. This was a...
If not the earliest.
Yeah, it was a theme that was explored in the early, early days of cinema. And
I wonder why.
But yeah, no, back then, obviously different times. This, I don't know. I feel like we could almost do a head-to-head with that Last House on the Left, but I would argue that maybe this one has connected in a different way for a lot of people, because I don't think anybody's going to consider Last House on the Left a feminist film. So this one definitely has... No. Well, your hardcore horror fans and a different fan base too, which is interesting.
This is a more clear rape revenge than the Last House on the Left is, because the parents get the revenge. This one, she's taking it.
That's why Last House really isn't a feminist film.
Another case of a couple guys trying to out having a good time.
Todd's the biggest asshole on this show, by the way. I just want to point that out.
Funny. You right say there. That though, Dan. Me and Pugs have a song all about rape, but you're still the easy one on the show. Go figure that one out.
And also, the biggest asshole on this show is that one guy from number two.
But impact on the genre, just. Like, my whole thing with the whole rape revenge genre, and like you were giving, you know, the comparisons to Last House, because I do consider Last House a part of the rape revenge genre, but it's not like, you know, it's not the victim getting the revenge, it's the parents.
Yeah.
I still think it counts, but as far as just the act of rape, you know, and it being a very personable thing, I think that's, probably why I think I Spit on Your Grave is a little bit better. Like, don't get me wrong, I do enjoy Last House. You know, we just watched it recently, and it was the first time I had rewatched it. Yeah, go listen to that commentary. It's fucking gold. But watching that, you know, I hadn't seen it, and I remember it just being way more fucked up when I was a kid. And in comparison to the two, I think I Spit on Your Grave is a little bit more graphic, at least. And especially in the rape, I think the rape is just way more powerful. Not you know, to say the rape in the other one isn't powerful, well, but I mean, you get what actually, I'm saying.
It's, you could actually argue the rape in the other one is worse because it's 100% more that's exploiting. It's an exploitation film first, where this one is, mm-hmm. you know, trying to, you know, it's trying to.
I guess I just felt the rape is maybe more brutal when I Spit on Your Grave.
No, I actually agree, it's just the exploitiveness of the other one.
Well, they also take the tantric approach because they don't rape her all at one time. They kind of spread it out throughout the day. Let it dry up a little.
Yeah. That's the thing about I Spit on Your Grave is, you know, that rape scene is fucking long as fuck. Like, it is 25 minutes of the fucking movie. It's just straight up this long, you know, strung out rape scene.
Four times.
I love that the suspenders dude threw out his back. He couldn't walk for like 3 days. Hitting it hard, hitting it right.
God.
And you know, this movie is confused. You know, Last House did have the cops where the tone was. Yeah, I mean, we love it, but you know, like
again, exploitation film versus.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But with I Spit on Your Grave, just the impact it has, you know, the rape revenge genre, you know, I think calls back to this movie constantly. And like I brought up earlier, that movie Revenge, I mean, it's very much the same spirit of I Spit on Your Grave. The girl getting, you know, basically thrown out after a rape into nature, and that becoming there's a theme in I Spit on Your Grave I think it isn't talked about, is like the nature aspect with the woman, and the fact that, you know, she's kind of left out to fend for herself and stuff like that. And that's something Revenge really focuses hard on, is, you know, this girl, if you guys haven't seen the movie, it's a rape revenge where a girl gets left in the middle of the desert after getting raped. Yeah, and
it's a great these movie.
Yeah, it's a fucking fantastic rape revenge film. And it, it definitely has those, you know,
with your pucks.
I Spit on Your Grave to me. Mm-hmm. But it's not as graphic, though, in the rape part either in that movie. And yeah. I think that's a common theme in more of the, you know, later, you know, after post 2010 rape revenge movies, is you're not going to see, unless you get into, you know, full on. Well, I guess that's considered extreme horror too. I guess just some of the stuff is a little bit lighter in the later movies, I think. And,
as long as it's
unless
not
you're going like Irreversible.
Yeah, as long as it's not MFA, that one was, I was so disappointed.
Well, I haven't seen that movie.
The thing about the rape revenge genre, unlike, you know, women in prison or Nazi exploitation, they are different. Like, you watch like a women in prison or a Nazi exploitation film, they are very close. They almost all feel like remakes of each other. Rape Revenge, they do vary. Like, you know, Last House is a very different film from I Spit on Your Grave, and, you know, Revenge.
Miss 45.
Absolutely. Kruger,
you haven't seen Miss 45 yet, right?
Nope.
Good on
it.
You
do that. Yeah.
Definitely. That is a classic.
A thriller. I know that was when Kruger had bought it privately. That's another good one.
Oh, they call her One Eye? Fuck yeah.
Thriller is a great film. Yeah. No, and they all, some are a little more action oriented, some are a little more horror. You know, they are different. They are different for sure. Now, certainly, you know,
if Jodie Foster's character would have watched I Spit in Your Grave, the accused would have a totally different ending.
Does Leo Rossi like get the boat kill there at the end?
He would probably be the tub guy. I think he would fall for that.
Well, is it still rape revenge because she gets her revenge via the law? I don't know how that works.
Well, Kruger hasn't seen the movie, so I don't want to give it too far too much away. But no, and yes, okay. It's in the middle.
Okay, yeah, great film either way.
Yes. I was going to say she also isn't really getting it herself so much in that, but anyways,
she's standing up for women, Dan.
She's getting it in that movie, all right.
Well, yes.
And you know what? That was last year's getting stuff like a turkey. I didn't even realize that till right now.
Another Thanksgiving.
That's not a theme, apparently.
That's this is what enters Todd's head.
Fuck yeah.
I have issues.
No, I can't hunt down those deals this year, so I'm going to hunt something else.
Okay, well, okay. This is what I just threw on it at last minute. But
yeah, this is a good one.
Here we go. Here's the question.
Could there be another mainstream remake? That's a good one, actually. I was looking forward to talking about this with you guys. Because I was actually surprised early in my podcasting days doing the first remake. And I was surprised even then with what they got away with. But 2020, the year of the pussies. I don't know now. Well, all right. So to answer it for me, yes, you could get a mainstream remake. I think it would be a drastically different film. I think most of the assault stuff would be more implied. And it would not be as intense. This sounds ridiculous, but I could even see them going PG-13. If it were like,
I think Dan lives on a different planet. I think you can completely cut the rape out. I think that's and have her. I think you could ever get assaulted a different way, not necessarily raped, and still do the revenge portion. More that'd be more vigilante, more peppermint. If you want to do a recent revenge film,
yeah, I think maybe something like they just do something very conventional, like a girl got roofied sort of deal.
Oh, and there's that one horrible movie coming out where those guys are just trying to take that girl home.
Oh yeah, I saw. Yeah, that looked like yeah.
It's her own damn fault, right, Todd?
I think you would get something unrecognizable. McLovin, but yeah, they could do it.
I think they could, and I also think they can gender swap. They can do like a Deliverance type thing, or non-binary person. Like they can treat like a hate crime, and then you know there's. They'll take that formula and bring it into 2020. And also, 2020 has been a shit year, so people are angry again, and we get the best movies when people are mad. So
we can't see them, but
the technology hurt it, though, like, you know, cell phones.
Well, no, and you fucking no, suck that cell phone.
No.
Cell phones were fucking there in the 2010 movie.
But it's different. See, you know what happens in 2020? That shit gets live streamed.
Oh, they could go World Star. Yeah, you're right.
Because you know we be watching like motherfucker. Thumbs up. Yeah, get that.
You gotta watch
if they had them in masks, I guess.
Yeah, I'd be like, how do we screen capture that shit?
Yeah. It could take place in Oregon right now, since that's a whole bunch of fucking chaos over there.
But yeah, I think that's how you do it. But I mean, the mainstream part. That's why I threw the mainstream in there, because you could absolutely do another one. But it's just
Stephen Biro gets a hold of it. It would be similar to what you recognize.
I actually have a decent idea on if you want to make it mainstream. I wouldn't like. This sounds completely fucked up, but I would fucking love a series called "I Spit on Your Grave," and each episode is a fucking short film about a rape revenge story, something like that. Sounds greatest idea ever is all hell to me.
Well, where do I pay my subscription for this?
Do you interconnect, or are they all standalone?
Oh, good point. Oh, they
no, they're all standalone. Each one and each one. Hold on, before you give that. And the other thing I was gonna say too was that fucking this would be an amazing way for fucking writers who felt strongly and passionate upon subjects of actual real life situations to fucking expose shit that's been happening in our society. Mm-hmm. I think it's a fucking good idea, but if anybody wants that idea, you can hit me up on Instagram.
I do think they can interconnect though, because if they're all survivors, they can go to like a support group, and then each episode is them giving their testimony of what happened.
Well, yeah, you can make that work. Do you think, assuming this is in, assuming theaters are back, do you think this is going to be in thousands of theaters and you can actually show a graphic rape at this point? Because I feel like that's hard to do.
It's hard to do. And I think it's even harder to do right now in a horror film from a mainstream. Again, I think even though technically this is the last set of remakes was from a mini major, at that point it wouldn't even be a mini major because it was Anchor Bay, but it was Lionsgate owned, so whatever. We'll just pretend it was Lionsgate, even though technically it was under Anchor Bay's banner. See, because I couldn't see Blumhouse. God damn it, Dan. I couldn't see Blumhouse doing it.
I could, but it would be totally different. I could actually see the movie in my
head.
They
seem to stay away from controversy, Dan. They're more a little bit more mainstream. I think that ties a little bit more rough for them. But
they probably change it back to Day of the Woman, actually, come to think of it. Yeah.
Spit on your woman.
It would be...
Oh, that'd be fucking even worse now. Because, you know, spitting, COVID, it's a whole thing.
I spit in your face.
Got that COVID dick.
That's Dan's new Instagram handle.
Fuck you, Dan.
COVID dick.
I will just claim it, and I will be COVID dick, and I will make it cool. Yeah, I don't know. God damn, I hope I didn't just put that out into the universe now and that fuck Jason.
And your grinder name is the Ronaconda.
That's fucked up. Danny Doring reference.
It wasn't, but okay.
That's a Danaconda. ECW, you know what I'm talking about.
But
I don't think so. Not in a wide release, it would be something unrecognizable. I think it would be something like Roofies or college campus sort of thing, and it would probably piss off any fans of the original for sure. It would be Black Christmas.
I hope it happens from Blumhouse, from the director of Black Christmas.
No, you don't. You don't really want that.
Just see you have a shit.
I think it would bother you more if that.
If it was Last House from her, yes. But this, I'd be okay with. Just to annoy you.
How do they do Last
House? I dealt with that Last House remake. So I had my.
Why are you going to do me like that, though?
Because I had to deal with that Universal Last House remake. So you got to deal with that. But you know what? You also did have Deja Vu, so I guess we're cool.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, since we've fucking probably got canceled for the third time on this show.
Jesus. Megan is missing. I spit on your grave. We're just fucking throwing. We're just trying to get canceled now.
I do have a pitch, though. Why don't we do where Jennifer gets kidnapped by aliens? And in space, no one will convict you. Boom. Jason X.
And that's the fantasy.
Stop telling us about your rape fantasy.
Aliens. Come on. Aliens.
The probe rape.
You just want to take a bunch of kids up in the astronaut ship with you, don't you?
Dad, please don't start reading your Deliverance fan fiction now.
I spit on your
Let's get the fuck out of here.
How is
before we get fucking... canceled by the FBI.
All right, guys. So we hope you enjoyed this lovely, heartwarming Thanksgiving season episode of Flesh.
Thanksgiving night episode, Dan. Come on.
Thanksgiving night episode. You know, we hope you're excited. We hope Sitting you're
all stuffed like she was.
Stuffing yourself in the legal way, and I don't know.
You can stuff a woman in a legal way too, fool. Well, yeah, maybe you can't, but
so yes, hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to listen to all the other shows, and also like, share, and subscribe on YouTube. It helps grow the channel. We're still new on YouTube. We're less than a year on YouTube, so be sure to do that. Also, fleshwoundfeatures.com. Check out the eBay pages. And Pugs, pimp that Patreon.
All right. We are on. Wait.
No, come on. It's 2020.
Oh, sexually solicit the Patreon?
There you go.
There sex you go. Traffic the Patreon, but
ah, gotcha. So we're gonna sex traffic the Patreon here, and it starts only at a dollar. You can help us out with getting the bigger options if still please. Well, but anyway, there's exclusive content on there, and most importantly, uncensored. So join us there and have a good time with us. And you can follow us across all the social media platforms except for TikTok so far. Oh no!
Oh, no!
We are on TikTok.
We haven't got shit with me yet, but we got a TikTok.
So we're on TikTok now.
Megan
don't let Dan on there.
That,
you know?
So you can follow us on there, and let's see if we can get something go viral like Megan is missing.
Well, you know, if Dan is on TikTok, that would just be Megan is missing. So,
oh come on, it's Jesus. TikTok. They're gonna find Kruger's matches and like start wondering if he actually killed those people. That's what's gonna happen.
We got a kayfabe.
What's gonna happen?
So,
well, now I know. Not trying to go out there first.
So yes. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Everyone say goodnight.
Good night.
Stay sick, motherfuckers.
Enjoy your turkey.
All right. Namaste. Suck it, bitch.